I have searched widely. I have found record of nobody's supposition that he had traced these detonations to origin upon this earth. 33. In Coconino County, Arizona, is an extraordinary formation. It is known as Coon Butte and as Crater Mountain. Once upon a time, something gouged this part of Arizona. The cavity in the ground is about 3,800 feet in diameter, and it is approximately 600 feet deep, from the rim of the ramparts to the floor of the interior. Out from this cavity had been hurled blocks of limestone, some of them a mile or so away, some of these masses weighing probably 5,000 tons each. And in the formation, and around it, have been found either extraordinary numbers of meteorites, or fragments of one supermeteorite. Barringer, in his report to the Academy of Natural Science of Philadelphia, Proceedings, ANSP, December, 1905, says that, of the traffickers in this meteoritic material, he knew of two men who had shipped away 15 tons of it. But Barringer's minimum estimate of a body large enough so to gouge the ground is 10 million tons. It was supposed that a main mass of meteoritic material was buried under the floor of the formation, but this floor was drilled, and nothing was found to support this supposition. One drill went down 1,020 feet, going through 100 feet of red sandstone, which seems to be the natural, undisturbed substructure. The datum that opposes most strongly the idea that this pit was gouged by one supermeteorite is that in it and around it at least three kinds of meteorites have been found. They are irons, masses of iron shale, and shale balls that are so rounded and individualized that they cannot be thought of as fragments of a greater body, and cannot be very well thought of as great drops of molten matter cast from a main, incandescent mass, inasmuch as there is not a trace of igneous rock such as would mark such contact. There are data for thinking that these three kinds of objects fell at different times, presumably from origin of fixed position relatively to this point in Arizona. Within the formation, shales were found, buried at various distances, as if they had fallen at different times, for instance seven of them in a vertical line, the deepest buried 27 feet down. Also shales outside the formation were found buried. But, quite as if they had fallen more recently, the hundreds of irons were found upon the surface of the ground, or partly covered, or wholly covered, but only with superficial soil. There is no knowing when this great gouge occurred, but cedars upon the rim are said to be about 700 years old. In terms of our general expression upon differences of potential, and of electric relations between nearby worlds, I think of a blast between this earth and a land somewhere else, and of something that was more than a cyclone that gouged this pit. Other meteorites have been found in Arizona, the 85-pound iron that was found at Weaver, near Wickenburg, 130 miles from Crater Mountain in 1898, and the 960-pound mass, now in the National Museum, said to have been found at Peach Springs, 140 miles from Crater Mountain. These two irons indicate nothing in particular, but, if we accept that somewhere else in Arizona there is another deposit of meteorites, also extraordinarily abundant, such abundance gives something of commonness of nature if not of commonness of origin to two deposits. There are several large irons known as the Tucson meteorites, one weighing 632 pounds and another 1,514 pounds, now in museums. They came from a place known as Iron Valley, in the Santa Rita Mountains, about 30 miles south of Tucson, and about 200 miles from Crater Mountain. Iron Valley was so named because of the great number of meteorites found in it. According to the people of Tucson, this fall occurred about the year 1660. See Amer. Jure. Sci. 2-13-290. Upon June 24, 1905, Barringer found, upon the plain, about a mile and a half northwest of Crater Mountain, a meteorite of a fourth kind. It was a meteoritic stone, as different from all the other specimens as one specimen could be from another. Barringer thinks that it fell, about the 15th of January, 1904. Upon a night in the middle of January, 1904, Two of his employees were awakened by a loud hissing sound, and saw a meteor falling north of the formation. At the same time, two Arizona physicians, north of the formation, saw the meteor falling south of them. For analysis and description of this object, see Amer. Jure. Psi, 4-21-353. Berenger, who believes that once upon a time one supermeteorite, of which only a very small part has ever been found, gouged this hole in the ground, writes that a small stony meteorite should have fallen on almost exactly the same spot on this Earth's surface as the Great Canon Diablo iron meteorite fell many centuries ago, is certainly a most remarkable coincidence. I have stated the facts as accurately as possible, and I have no opinion to offer, as to whether or not these involve anything more than a coincidence. Other phenomena in Arizona. Upon February 24, 1897, a great explosion was heard over the town of Tombstone. It is said that a fragment of a meteor fell at St. David, Monthly Weather Review, 1897-56. Yarnell, Arizona, September 12, 1898. A loud, deep, thundering noise that was heard between noon and 1 p.m. The noise proceeded from the Granite Range, this side of Prescott. From all accounts, a large meteor struck the Earth at this time, U.S. Weather Bureau Report, Arizona Section, September, 1898. Upon July 19, 1912, at Holbrook, Arizona, about 50 miles from Crater Mountain occurred a loud detonation and one of the most remarkable falls of stones recorded. See Amer. Jure. Psi. 434-437. Some of the stones are very small. About 14,000 were collected. Only twice, since the year 1800, have stones in greater numbers fallen from the sky to this earth, according to conventional records. About a month later, August 18, there was another concussion at Holbrook. This was said to be an earthquake, Bull. Cease. SOC America, 1-209. 34. The climacteric opposition of Mars, of 1909, the last in our records. The next will be in 1924. August 8, 1909. Sequar. Jure. Met. SOC, NS, 35-299. Flashes in a clear sky that were seen in Epsom, Surrey, and other places in the southeast of England. They could not be attributed to lightning in England. The writer in the journal finds that there was a storm in France, more than 100 miles away. For an account of these flashes, tabulated at Epsom Night Fine and Starlight, see Simons Met. Mag. 44-148. During each period of 5 minutes, from 10 to 11:15 p.m., the number of flashes 16142031152612203018272214121028531010. With such a time basis, I can see no possibility of detecting anything of a code-like significance. I do see development. There were similar observations at times in the favorable oppositions of Mars of 1875 and 1877. In 1892, such flashes were noted more particularly. Now we have them noted and tabulated, but upon a basis that could be of interest only to meteorologists. If they shall be seen in 1924, we may have observation, tabulation, and some marvelously different translations of them. After that, there will be some intolerably similar translations, suspiciously delayed in publication. September 23, 1909. Opposition of Mars. Throughout our data, we have noticed successions of appearances in local skies of this Earth, that indicate that this Earth is stationary, but that also relate to nearest approaches of Mars. Upon the night of December 16 to 17, 1896, concussion after concussion was felt at Worcester, England. A great meteor was seen at the time of the greatest concussion. Mars was 7 days past opposition. We thought it likely enough that explosion after explosion had occurred over Worcester, and that something in the sky had been seen only at the time of the greatest, or the nearest, explosion. We did not think well of the conventional explanation that only by coincidence had a great meteor exploded over a region where a series of earthquakes was occurring, and exactly at the moment of the greatest of these shocks. In November, 1911, Mars was completing its cycle of changing proximities of a duration of 15 years, and was duplicating the relationship of the year 1896. About 10 o'clock, night of November 16, 1911, a concussion that is conventionally said to have been an earthquake occurred in Germany and Switzerland. But plainly there was an explosion in the sky. In the Bulletin of the Seismological Society of America, 3-189, Count Monte Susta Ballery writes that he had examined 112 reports upon flashes and other luminous appearances in the sky that had preceded the earthquake by a few seconds. He concludes that a great meteor had only happened to explode over a region where, a few seconds later, there was going to be an earthquake. It therefore seems highly probable that the earthquake coincided with the fall of meteors or of shooting stars. The duplication of the circumstances of December, 1896, continues. If of course this concussion in Germany and Switzerland was the effect of something that exploded in the sky, of what were the concussions that were felt later, the effects? De Ballery does not mention anything that occurred later. But, a few minutes past midnight, and then again, at 3 o'clock, morning of the 17th, there were other, but slighter, shocks. Only at the time of the greatest shock was something seen in the sky. Nature, 88-117, that this succession of phenomena did occur. We relate the phenomena to the planet Mars, but also we ask how, if most reasonably, all three of these shocks were concussions from explosions in the sky, if of course one of them was, meteors could ever so hound one small region upon a moving Earth, or projectiles be fired with such specialization and preciseness. November 17, 1911, was 7 days before the opposition of Mars. Though the opposition occurred upon the 24th of November, Mars was at minimum distance upon the 17th.